Let's get it. James chapter 2 verse 1 through 10 and 14 through 17. Have you ever read a book Don't Eat the Marshmallow Yet by Joachim de Fusada and Alan Singer? This book was about self-improvement based on the Stanford Marshmallow Experiment, which was a series of studies on delayed gratification in the late 1960s and early 1970s, led by psychologist Walter Mischel, then a professor at Stanford University. In these studies, a child was offered a choice between one small reward provided immediately or two small rewards if they waited for a short period, about 15 minutes, during which the tester left the room and then returned. The reward was sometimes a marshmallow, but often a cookie or a pretzel. In follow-up studies, the researchers found that children who were able to wait longer for the preferred rewards tend to have better life outcomes, as measured by SAT scores, educational attainment, body mass index, and other life measures. From this, we might know the reason why the title of this book came to be Don't Eat the Marshmallow Yet. I got many insights from this book, but the most powerful one was in the prologue. Let me share a part of it with you. Here's a question. There were three frogs that were floating down the river on the top of a leaf. One of them decides to jump into the river. How many frogs are left on top of the leaf? Most people will answer that two remain. Wrong answer. There are three frogs left on top of the leaf. Why? Because deciding to jump and jumping are two different things. This is so true. In many ways, we are just like the frog who decided to jump in but never takes an action. At the end of the prologue, the author wrote that Sir Francis Bacon said, "Knowledge is power." He was right, but forgot one word to make the phrase foolproof. Applied knowledge is power. If you know and you don't do, you don't know. It is as simple as that. Again, this is so true in our faith life. We read and hear lots of promises of God and stories of God, but if you don't do anything, you cannot keep any of them. When Moses stretched out his hand over the Red Sea, the waters were divided. When the people of Israel finished their seventh march on the seventh day, finally Jericho was destroyed. When we put our faith into action, our faith is really alive. We need to remember what James said in 2:17. So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. If you read the whole New Testament, you will have a broad understanding of the Bible. In the New Testament, there are 21 epistles, and each writer has a slightly different point. Paul, who wrote 13 of 21 epistles, emphasized faith. In Galatians 2:16, he said, "Yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ." Peter stressed the importance of hope. In 1 Peter 1:3, he said, "By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." John always pointed out love. So many places in his writing, he emphasized that God is love. And James stressed the importance of action. In today's scripture, verse 14, he challenged us, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have any works? Can faith save you?" Faith, hope, love, and action are all very important. Although the Bible says that love is the greatest of these, still it is very hard to say which one needs to be the foremost. Surely, as Christians, we should always have faith, hope, and love, but we need to remember that these three should be shown by action in our life. Since none of them, faith, hope, love, is visible, when we put them into an action, we know whether our faith, hope, love is real or not. James stated that if your faith does not have any good works, your faith cannot save you. It may sound like James is opposed to Apostle Paul, who emphasized faith. His theology relativized the law but absolutized the faith. But James has targeted not Paul, but those who go to extremes to support Paul's theology by trying to break the law. They only focused on having faith for their own salvation without having any interest in how to live their life according to faith. For those who have no relation between their life and their faith, and for those who do not reflect their faith in their actions, God's grace means nothing. They make God's grace as cheap. For them, having faith means having a free ticket to go to heaven after death. They think once they have this free pass to heaven, there is nothing for them to do. The concept of cheap grace was developed by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German pastor, theologian, anti-Nazi dissident, and key founding member of the Confessing Church. He was determined to topple Adolf Hitler, even if it meant killing him. In his point of view, the 20th century German church lost the point of discipleship. Christians no longer tried to live as disciples of Jesus, following Jesus' teaching and his way of life. Their faith did not say anything in action. From this, Bonhoeffer thought that they were obsessed by cheap grace. Cheap grace means preaching forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipline, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, the living and incarnate. With these cheap grace, Christians even thought that their faith had nothing to do with Hitler, because they thought that no matter how much the world was going wrong and crazy, it had nothing to do with believing Jesus and being saved. They were only interested in their personal salvation. They didn't want to live a responsible life as Christians. Their faith did not bring any good works. James told us what it looks like to have faith without action. In verse 1 through 10, he gave the example. It is discrimination against the poor. At that time, there was partiality among the people in the church. People were discriminated and treated in accordance with their wealth. Those who had gold rings and wore fine clothes, they were seated right away and treated well in the church. But those who looked poor, they could not be seated in a pew. They had to be stand back or sit at the rich people's feet. This reminds us of the time when racial discrimination happened in the church in our country. At that time, the white people could be seated right away in the church, but the black people were not allowed to be seated in the sanctuary. Rather, they had to stand at the back of the sanctuary, or they had to go to a separate place for worship. Now, we hardly see racial discrimination in the church, but it is still there. There are various invisible walls, discrimination and partiality regarding wealth, educational level, job, age, sex, and race in the church. These all came from the dead faith. Furthermore, we see many people who say, I have faith, but do not have any works. Some people easily say, I will pray for you, but never actually pray for others. Some people easily click the like button on Facebook and Instagram for charity, but are never actually interested in what this charity is doing. Some people say, I am Christian, but never read the Bible, never pray, never go to church. Some people say love with their lips, but never really love their neighbors as themselves. We need to remember, James does not mean that action and practice are more important than faith. Faith, hope, love, and action are all important. But again, we should remember that faith, hope, and love should be shown by action in our life. Faith is our foundation. Because without faith, the number of good works we do means nothing. These cannot save us. Faith alone cannot save us. How do you understand the grace of God? How do you deal with God's grace? In your faith life, do you make the grace of God cheap grace or costly grace? If you'd like to take benefit of God's grace but never want to take any responsibility, living out your faith without action, your faith is dead. God's grace leads us to live out the true faith, which is living out faith with many good works. Both action and faith are very important. They are not competitive, but should be complementary in our life. Let us go back to the story of the three frogs. Deciding to jump, but not doing it, and just staying on the leaf might be us in our daily lives. As Christians, we know which one is the better way. We know which one is the more excellent way. But most times, we just remain the way we are used to, not doing anything. Then there will not be change. We already know it well. How many times have you decided to do something but not to do? If you have faith in Jesus Christ, do and live as your faith leads you. That is the life with living faith. Let your faith alive. Praise God. Amen.